Michael Parker and D Program on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Friends, it is the third hour of D Program. It is Friday, May the 20th here in the United States. And I love the fact that it's Friday. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Jim Breslow of the Hidden Truth Show. We're going to talk about some more articles that he's written for Epoch Times. But before I get to that, I got to run this one story by you. And I bring this up. I'm not editorializing here. This is coming straight from the Associated Press, an article that came out yesterday. And it's talking about this whole monkeypox thing, because I don't really want to go down this road again. So I want us to take note of what's being said and when. So this is what came out in the Associated Press about the monkeypox. First of all, what is monkeypox? It's a virus that originates in wild animals like rodents and primates, hence the name. Now, this is somewhat new. It was discovered in 1958. Most of the human cases that we have seen of this have been in West Africa, and it's considered endemic there, right? So this happens. So the first time we saw this in a human being was in 1970. A 9-year-old boy in a remote part of Congo came down with it. The World Health Organization has estimated that on an annual basis, there's thousands of monkeypox infections in about a dozen different African countries every year, anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 cases, and most people survive it. Okay. So in 2003, 47 people here in the US actually came down with the virus. And here's where it gets weird. They say they caught the virus from pet prairie dogs that had been housed near imported small animals from Ghana. Okay. You know, could be. The good news is they all survived, and people that are exposed to this virus are often given smallpox vaccines or antiviral drugs. We have a brand new vaccine of which the United States has spent almost $120 million just recently to buy 13 million doses of. So I bring all of this to your attention just because I know that the media is going to run rampant with this thing. And right now they're talking about it as if it's just, you know, burning a hole across Europe. But there's several very odd things about it. And one is the fact that right now it's being found primarily in men. And they're pointing out that it's, you know, men that have had sex with men, when we know that this particular virus in the past was not associated with sexual activity. So I just bring all of this to your attention because this is what the press is saying about. This article was in the Associated Press. It was written by a person named Maria Ching. And I just want us to keep in mind what they're saying right now. So we have the vaccinations. We've got antivirals. People usually live through this thing. We have several thousand cases per year. So before we all freak out and lose our minds and go into epidemic hysteria 2.0, let's just take a breather, wait and see how this thing goes. And, you know, let's be smart about this. Now here in LA, you know, they're quick to remind us that COVID is coming back, and, you know, we'll cover that. I'm sure we're going to cover that. And I'm sure we're going to be covering a lot of monkeypox information going forward. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention that if you're thinking about going out this weekend and you're worried about the monkeypox, I wouldn't be too worried. This is TNT Radio.
Talk that matters.
For once, we just need to do what's best for this damn country and not what's best for the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So this is the final hour, and I am joined by Jim Breslow of The Hidden Truth. He writes a few articles for the Epoch Times, and we're going to go over some of those. Jim, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks, Michael. Always happy to be on. And thank you for alleviating my concern about monkeypox.
It is very concerning, and it does tend to deface people's hands and genitals, apparently, if you get it.
Well, it sounds like it's more akin to AIDS than it is to COVID. I was just reading about it as you were talking about it. And it's apparently mostly sexually treated right now.
Jim, that's what I'm, you know, I don't want to be overly you know, suspicious here, but it's just, I don't know. And the fact that they were saying that, you know, these are men having sex with men, they're saying that some of these people that showed up at these clinics with it were showing up because they were having blisters on their genitals. And that's how we've discovered this monkeypox thing. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, man, I don't know what it is. And I hope it doesn't get worse. And I also hope people don't lose their minds over it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll give the mainstream media something to cover besides COVID. So maybe they can move past and focus on monkeypox. I'd actually be good with that trade.
Monkeypox, man. Holy cow. All right. Well, so we were talking, Jim, earlier in the week, I spoke with a guy named John O'Connor, and John O'Connor was a lawyer who represented Deep Throat from the Watergate days. And he represented him after Watergate when he kind of came clean and we knew who the guy was. The reason I bring this up is because he and I were talking about the Supreme Court draft leak. And I told him some of the things that I told you, and I bring this up in context of your article, California Democrats likely to overplay their hand on abortion. And what he said to me, Jim, is what you said, because, you know, he said that the draft did look legit to him. And so I have to credit you with that, because you said right off the bat you thought it was legit. I questioned that or where it was coming from, but he said the same thing you did. So.
Yeah. No, it definitely looks legit. And it definitely also looks like a first draft. You know, it's yes. Specifically pulled as a first draft. You know, I don't know the whole inner workings of how things go over there, but I have said, and others have said, that, you know, it kind of reads like a first draft, because there's some things in there that are it's pretty kind of loose, tough language, where Alito says something to the effect of, you know, never has there been before, you know, a law protecting the rights to abortion. Never, ever, not once. You know, I mean,
wow.
This comes across a bit angry yes. In it. But, you know, for them to overturn something that's been in place for 50 years, that's, you know, it is unusual for sure. There's only a handful of times when the Supreme Court has overturned itself. It is supposed to give a lot of deference to prior opinions. Of course, if you're a lower court, it's not just deference. You absolutely have to follow the rulings of a higher court. When you're the highest court, then you simply give deference to your prior opinions. So they got to be, you know, really wrong to overturn. And that's why it's interesting that you've got 5 out of the 9 that are voting to overturn it, not 6. Who's the 6th? Well, it's Chief Justice Roberts. He's not joining the majority, even though he's considered a conservative justice. And he's somebody who has shown in the past that he likes to keep things, he doesn't like to upset the apple cart too much.
Right.
So when it came to Obamacare, he really stretched and clawed to not overturn Obamacare. There was 4 to 100% overturn Obamacare, and Roberts refused to go with them and saved it. And same thing here. I mean, we're just starting to see the fallout of this across America as people, you know, are still into the streets and go to justices' yeah. homes and so on to protest this issue. You know, Roberts didn't want to see this. I think that he wanted to do everything he could to keep Roe in place, but these other 5 justices just, they think it was just so horribly reasoned, Roe v. Wade, that they could not idly stand by and allow it to stand.
Basically, I mean, and it's had the result that you would think it would have. I mean, yes, people have poured into the streets. And when I had this conversation with John O'Connor this past week, you know, he was saying, he goes, listen, he goes, and I had to say the same thing. It's like, I have teenage daughters, I have a wife. And he said his wife, he goes, you know, pretty much disagrees with everything that Biden says, but she would vote Democrat because of this point. And so it is having this emotional impact that Democrats are trying to use. And I mean, my next door neighbor, I saw a picture of her at the face at one of these assemblies, you know, the other day. She had her pink hat on. I'm not going to say it on the air, but and super, you know, pissed off. And so it's had the effect of really energizing that portion of the voting public.
Yeah. You know, the Democrats have nothing else this year. It was looking like it reminds me of COVID back in 2020 with the Trump election.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, economy was great. Everything was great. It looked like Trump was going to sail to victory. And then out of nowhere comes COVID. Here, it looks like Republicans were going to sail to victory and taking over the House and Senate. And out of nowhere comes this overturning of Roe v. Wade. I say that not as a conspiracy, because I don't see a conspiracy here. It's just timing happens. Things happen. Yeah. You know, this happened. This is real. But I think that, you know, I wrote in the article that they're going to overplay their hand. They're definitely going to use this to fit into their narrative of Republicans being right-wing extremists. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there is a risk that Republicans will be labeled that way. What I like to say is, first of all, as far as the ruling itself, no one should be criticizing, in my opinion, the ruling itself. This is apolitical. This is looking at the Constitution and seeing if there is a right to abortion in the Constitution. And most scholars will tell you that that Roe v. Wade decision was not well reasoned. I think even Ruth Bader Ginsburg had made some comments critical of that decision. They took the due process clause, which is all supposed to be about due process as far as the process of prosecuting someone, and found a right in due process that you can't take away somebody's right without due process. And what is that right? Well, that right is abortion. And what these five justices said was, well, where does that right come from? It doesn't come from the Bill of Rights. There's nothing in the Bill of Rights on it. And they invented this right to privacy. But these justices are saying that, you know, look, it was illegal in all of the colonies when the Constitution was passed. It was illegal, I think, in like 35 states at the time of Roe v. Wade. How can you say that this is like an inherent natural right of people to have an abortion? So, point being, they shouldn't be critical of the ruling. However, they have every right to be critical when it comes to legislatively, what is any state going to do about this? And I'm saying, as a conservative Republican, that I personally do not support the idea of an absolute ban on abortion.
Me either.
Yeah, I think that's going to be damaging to Republicans. I think that you can be pro-life, but still allow limited abortion rights, reasonable abortion rights, you know, something in the, you know, first 10 weeks kind of thing. Out of respect that, look, it's a super controversial issue. People feel very strongly on both sides. I can understand the other side. So rather than legislating it and saying it's illegal, which will drive it underground, black market abortions, that's what you get when you make things illegal. The black market takes over. I don't think we want that. I think that we need very reasonable restrictions on it. And, you know, personally, I would go pretty strict. The problem is, in a lot of states, and I don't have the exact numbers, but a lot of states have this trigger law that if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, automatically abortion ban goes in place. So, and I think it's around 20 states. I forget if it's, I put it in my article, I could double check it, but I think it's about 20 states that have these trigger provisions where abortion will become outright banned, meaning, you know, women got to drive to another state.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you're in conservative state, Republicans would typically do well, and probably there's a lot of support for those laws in those states. But certainly it's going to give Democrats a reason to get very worked up.
Yes. I mean, there are people that are very, very upset. Now, for our audience, Jim, by trade, is a civil rights attorney before becoming a broadcaster. So, Jim, you actually read these laws and you comprehend them, so you don't just look at them from an emotional standpoint and take a knee-jerk reaction. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people, what you're saying is logical and true, but a lot of people aren't going to go that deep. And yeah, I'm with you. I don't think this is a conspiracy as much as it's just really unfortunate timing, as if we didn't have enough on our plate already and enough reasons to get upset with our neighbors and our friends. I wish that this hadn't happened now. It doesn't make it any less legit that it happened now and they want to make this argument. I just wish it hadn't happened now.
Yeah, I think most Republicans feel that way, and most Democrats are happy that it's happened. But, you know, it's now on the plate of both parties, and they need to be clear as far as what their position is. What I write in the piece is that up until now, it's been very easy for Republicans. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life, but what can I do? Roe v. Wade. Nothing we can do, right? So they don't have to answer the tough question of, okay, what should the law really be? Now, with Roe v. Wade theoretically gone, and this ruling is set to come out sometime in June, so perfect timing for the primaries, for the Democrats, Republicans now have to articulate, okay, now that it's back to the states, that's what you said you wanted, should be up to the states. So what should the state do? And Republicans have to be prepared with an answer to that. And as I said, and sounds like you agree, you know, an absolute ban is not the direction it should be going in. Now, on the flip side of that, however, is Democrats have to answer it too. And what is the extent of the rights that they want? That's where I write that they're likely to overplay their hand. A,
yes.
Making this the only, trying to make this the only issue. This is not the only issue for people. You know, we've got much bigger issues, I think, on the minds of most people. Abortion is not number one. And B, what are they going to say as far as those abortion rights? We're probably coming up against the break. So if you want it, we can cover it after the break, because I provide a lot of information as far as what Democrats are likely to be calling for as far as abortion rights. And it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, we will take a break. We're going to go into it a little bit early. I was speaking with Jim Breslow of the Hidden Truth Show, and we have at Hidden Truth Show, I work over there too. So just in full disclosure, there's about 300 episodes of all types of content, true crime, politics, mysteries, even some popular culture. If you're, you know, if you're into that, go check it out. HiddenTruthShow.com. You are currently listening to Deprogram with Michael Parker here on TNT. We're talking about some of Jim's most recent articles. The one that we're discussing right now is from May 14th in Epoch Times. California Democrats likely to overplay their hand on abortion. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Silence for thinking differently?
Silence for thinking differently?
Not here. Silence for asking questions?
Not here.
Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Nearly every day, we hear dire predictions about climate change from the media establishment, Hollywood, and politicians. They tell us that the world is coming to an end because normal human activity is raising the temperature to dangerous levels. To avoid a hellish apocalypse, they warn us we must immediately change our lifestyles and our very way of life. But are these sensational claims based on solid empirical science? Do the facts line up with the hype? Well, an increasing number of scientists are becoming skeptical. We covered what many of these scientists had to say in our first groundbreaking film, Climate Hustle. From overhyped claims about severe weather events, temperatures, rising sea levels, and even disappearing polar bears, Climate Hustle peeled back the hype and looked at the facts, facts that simply don't add up to any reason for alarm. So this begs the questions. Why would those claiming a global warming catastrophe spread a false narrative? What would motivate them? Why would they try to hustle you? Are they trying to control the climate or you? Well, those are the questions we're going to explore in this film. And the answers may shock you. Order your DVD, Blu-ray, or digital copy today of Climate Hustle 2.
To find out more, go to climatehustle2.com.
As an Olympic athlete, I prepare for everything. So when I became pregnant, I thought I was ready. But at 32 weeks, I was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia and had an emergency C-section. Looking back, had I known the warning signs, I would have talked to my doctor sooner. Too many women die of pregnancy-related complications, and most are preventable. If you or someone you know is pregnant or recently had a baby, learn the warning signs. It could help save her life. Hear her.
Show me the studies.
Today's News Talk Radio.
True study. This is safe for adults, much less kids.
TNT Radio. Live.
And it is Friday here on TNT Radio Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker. I am here with Jim Breslow of the Hidden Truth Show. We're talking about a couple of his most recent issues, and we're going through this always awkward to talk about abortion issue. Mm-hmm. And his most recent article is California Democrats likely to overplay their hand on abortion. And as Jim mentioned before we went to the break, so it's always been easy for Republicans to kind of throw up their hands and kind of walk away from the subject and not have to explain their position. They're not going to be able to do that, nor will Democrats. So where does that leave us? And Jim, talk about what California is talking about doing.
Yeah, so California, as you would imagine, is one of the more liberal states already. Yep. As far as abortion rights. Roe v. Wade had set up this this framework of three trimesters. And in the first trimester, it said that a state cannot limit a woman's choice to abort, essentially under any circumstances, unfettered women's discretion to abort in the first trimester. If a state impede upon that, it would absolutely be unconstitutional. Then in the second trimester, reasonable restrictions could be put on a woman's right to an abortion, and there's a big question what's reasonable. And then in the third trimester, it was okay to have an absolute ban. I believe it said, though, except in the case of the health of the mother. Mm-hmm. So those were the minimum protections. The case that was before the court was out of Mississippi. They wanted to ban all abortions after 15 weeks. So the question was, is that a reasonable restriction? That's now the second trimester. Is that a reasonable restriction? The court could have just ruled whether that was reasonable or unreasonable under Roe. Instead, as we now know, it looks like they're tossing out the entire Roe v. Wade framework. So that's putting it back to the states. So states like California already have laws, you know, protecting the right to abortion. In California, it's legal, unfettered right of the woman up to viability. And viability is generally considered to be at the end of the second trimester, at the end of 6 months. So, I mean, imagine that just for a second, that in California, without any restriction, a woman can decide just before the 6 month to abort. You've had children. I recently had one, so I'm newer to seeing what the fetus looks like at the various number of weeks since we went in for sonograms every month. Yeah. And you know, I think it's like at 6 or 7 weeks, a fetus is fully formed as far as a human being. You know, it's got 10 toes, 10 fingers. Everything is formed at like 6 or 7 weeks. So that's a month and a half.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, a fetus is viable at 6 months. So that would be obviously a very premature birth. Baby's probably about 3 pounds. But they survive. So right up until then, so a couple days before, okay to abort in California. And now they want to add to that because, you know, the whole thing's being come up again, and they haven't even, you know, considered that law in a long time in California. So in response to this Roe v. Wade, there's all kinds of bills that are in. They kind of break down in two categories. One is something that appears to expand it right up until birth. This got a lot of attention because there was even some language in there that appeared to say that it would even be legal after birth.
I just don't understand that.
Yeah, I forget the term that was used, but people said that this particular term applies to a fetus dying even within days of birth. Okay. And I'm blanking what the term was. And they got so much crap over that they amended the bill to take that term out. Make it clear that, okay, no, we didn't mean to talk about after birth. Who knows whether they really should be talking about it or not. When I tell you this next part, you're going to probably say, well, we were. What it's really doing is protecting a woman's right to essentially self abort. And it makes it, it legalizes abortion right up to the date of delivery. It protects a woman from any criminal or civil liability for an abortion at any time. It expressly protects women who engage in, quote, self-managed abortion, which means ending one's own pregnancy outside of the medical system.
Hmm.
The left is the one supposedly not wanting to drive abortions underground. So why they want to encourage women to have self-managed abortions, but basically it would make it not illegal. You could not prosecute a woman who chose to abort a pregnancy on her own right up until the time of birth. Now, it begs the question, okay, if she were to do this, what happens to the fetus? She's self-aborting outside the medical system. I mean, is this a situation where the woman puts the baby in a dumpster?
Right.
And that's what California wants to say. You cannot prosecute the woman for self-aborting right up until the time of birth. I mean, getting back to the politics of this, if Republicans latch on to this and make a big deal about this, I mean, they can absolutely, I think, hands down win this abortion issue, because people are going to realize how nutty left is when it comes to abortion rights.
Well, Jim, you would sure think, I mean, here in California, I don't know if there's enough Republicans to rise up and do such a thing. But certainly in other states, I was walking through the living room today, and already they were trying to show that Oklahoma is primed and ready. Probably they probably have the trigger law that you're talking about. They are primed and ready to ban the whole thing right now. And this was on, I believe, on ABC. But here in California, you know, I mean, this is so polarizing. And the gentleman that I had on earlier this week, he was kind of making the point that you were making earlier. It's like, man, why couldn't they have just stopped with the Mississippi ruling? But now we're going to go the whole nine yards on this thing. And I guess the actual ruling will happen this summer. So what happens between now and then, I don't know. But when the ruling comes down, it will start all over again.
Yeah.
Well, as far as people assembling.
Yeah, I want to reiterate my point, though, that, you know, comments that, gee, why didn't they just, you know, I like what they did, because I think it was principled.
Right.
The court is not supposed to be thinking about the political fallout of the ruling. Right.
True.
So, you know, it's the correct decision. The Constitution does not have this protection in it. You could amend the Constitution, but it doesn't have it in it. These five justices, in my opinion, are being very principled. They're not being concerned, frankly, about their own safety, because they had to have known that their own safety could come into play here, which is very scary. And we don't need to get into it, but that's arguably the bigger issue here than abortion, is our institutions and protecting our institutions. The idea that this leaked out was clearly to undermine the institution. Mm-hmm. People allowed to intimidate these justices through these protests outside, you know, that is hurting our institutions. You know, without our institutions, we've got nothing. What makes America great is the Constitution and the institutions that they put in place and allowed us to survive for 250 years. So forget about abortion. We're talking about the future of this country when you're talking about attacking institutions. And the left is just notorious for ends justify the means. Right. They don't care. If it means packing the court to get this overturned, they'll do that. If it means, think about this. I hate to even say it because it's kind of scary, but this ruling hasn't come out yet. So this ruling's not official. If one of those five justices were to pass, were to be killed before that ruling comes out, bye-bye ruling. Now it's 4-4. You no longer have a majority. So these guys are in serious danger.
Yes, they
need serious protection over the next month, which is another reason why it's so appalling that this thing leaked out, because it put these justices' lives in danger. If the ruling had just come out and you kill somebody after the ruling, there's nothing you can do. You can't change the ruling. Yeah.
Jim, Friday night. And, you know, I used to be a Bill Maher fan back in the day, and I've kind of, I don't really watch him that often anymore, but you know, every now and then it's on in the bedroom and I walk in. I mean, last Friday, you know, it had his new rules or whatever section at the end. You know, he basically, I don't remember how he frames his little joke, but the bottom line is he completely villainizes the old people of the Supreme Court, you know, running our lives. And it's like, brother, that's the Supreme Court. You can make a joke, but my point is, it's like even he is not going to honor the reverence that we should have for this institution. He just goes ahead and goes for the joke, makes it that they're old, washed up codgers. A lot of them are conservatives. And so the fans are being flamed for the destruction of their personal lives and just the reverence that we have for the Supreme Court. It was, I thought it was horrible.
That's super reckless. And, testing their own codgers is actually, is pretty young. The five justices.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know,
it's Gorsuch and it's,
I may have put that in there, but basically he was implying that they're old and out of touch and that they're conservatives and, you know, and we shouldn't have this. And I don't know, it bummed me out to have to hear that. So yeah, the whole thing's unfortunate. And, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to add one more thing as far as California in the overplaying the hand part. And that is that, you know, the other laws that are being passed in California are all about taking in women from other states. So we're going to be the sanctuary state for abortion.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, they call it abortion tourism. And, you know, my attitude on that is, hey, if a private clinic wants to advertise in states that don't permit abortion and want to offer packages for women to come to California to get an abortion, you know, that's private enterprise. That's each state having different laws, which I totally support states' rights and having different laws. You know, back in the day, there used to be states when it was 18 to drink and the high school kids would go to those states. That's fine. It's legal in that state, not legal in your state. So that's how I feel about this. Of course, Newsom and his pals, instead, we've got this huge budget surplus in California this year. And he identified three things that he's going to do with the budget surplus. One of the three things, of all the things that California desperately needs, and we could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
One of them is supporting women's right to abortion and helping women come to this state. It's like, no, dude, don't be spending my tax dollars. Look, again, it's private enterprise. I'm sure there's plenty of private enterprises. They'll spend plenty of money to encourage women to come here. Why does our state need to use our tax dollars, especially the tax dollars of people who are pro-life, and use it to help women come to California to get abortions? I mean, why are we so... Why does the state want to abort babies so badly? I don't get it.
Jim, I would even argue, because I've seen Newsom in these commercials, you know, making sure that we all know that, you know, well, he's going to make this a sanctuary state and all that. But I have so little faith in the guy that, I mean, I think this guy will almost just say anything. I mean, he probably would put the money towards that, but I think he's one of those types of politicians that will just say anything at a given time that is fortuitous to him.
Well, yeah. I mean, just like the left has been working race into everything in America to a disgusting level that's driving us bonkers.
Yeah.
Probably that's what we're going to be seeing from here on out regarding abortion. You're going to just work abortion into everything. So if it's a budget surplus, abortion, you know, because they think that's a winning issue for them. And by the way, they do manage to miraculously combine race with abortion.
Yes.
You know, so they found a way. So they call it reproductive justice. Only the left could come up with this nonsense because it addresses restrictions on abortion that perpetuate systems of oppression, lack of bodily autonomy, white supremacy, and anti-Black racism. So, of course, there's white supremacy in abortion, yet they're the ones that want to abort Black babies. They're the ones that want to make extra sure that minority communities, Black and brown communities, have access to abortion. So they want as many Black and brown babies aborted as possible, yet we're the white supremacists.
Yeah, I had some of this conversation early in the week with another guest, and because they're really working that angle, especially in the South, that the overturning of Roe versus Wade would affect people of color. And I don't want to go down that path anymore, but let's move to your other article, which is a simple solution to LA's out of control homeless problem. I've talked about this a lot, but you've got this article and I want to hear what you have to say, because I mean, it's a huge thing. Jim, I've had so many candidates for public office on here in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to tell you what I told them. So far, I'm actually relieved to have heard from what everybody said, because I'm pretty cynical when it comes to politics and politicians, and pretty much everybody I've met on here has been reasonable. But let's talk about your article. I mean, homelessness, crime, that's on the top of the list. If you're talking about Los Angeles County, LA City, this is the top of the priorities. And all of these people have been reasonably common sense about it. So let's talk about your article and what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
Now, you're not running for office, but
your first instincts are correct, and that is not to trust politicians,
right?
Because they have to say it's the most important thing. On day one, we're going to declare a state of emergency. Yeah. Well, we saw what a state of emergency does. We had it during COVID. We don't need state of emergency. Thank you very much. No, we don't need more power going into bureaucrats' hands, because if they declare a state of emergency, that means one person gets to decide how to fix this homeless problem. And guess what? Your backyard is going to have a homeless tent on it, Michael. All residents must immediately accommodate up to 2 homeless people. Businesses in parking lots must accommodate up to 100, you know, homeless people. That's the kind of nonsense that could come out if they declare a state of emergency.
Yeah.
A lot of them are asking for this. It sounds good on paper, but we don't want that. So that number one. Number two, yeah, they're all saying they're going to address it right away. But the question is, how are they going to address it? I mean, LA has been, quote unquote, addressing the problem for years now. But guess what? It's not getting better. So you have the right solution to the problem. And what I've said all along is that this is not complicated. People say, oh, well, the homeless situation is complicated. It's very complicated. It's not complicated at all. If you allow it, it will happen. If you don't allow it, it doesn't happen. Just like at our border, you allow people to cross the border, you have a border problem. You don't allow them to cross, you don't have a border problem. Los Angeles has been unique compared to cities around it, cities that are neighboring Los Angeles. They don't have the homeless problem. How come we have a homeless problem in Los Angeles, but in a city that shares a border with Los Angeles, Manhattan Beach, they have zero homeless problem? Because they don't allow it. They don't allow camping on the sidewalks. They don't allow camping in the parks. They don't allow camping in the beaches. They don't allow anything overnight. So Los Angeles, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, started allowing it. There was a court ruling that it interpreted it to mean that they're not allowed to enforce no camping unless you've got sufficient homeless shelters. So Los Angeles decided, we don't have sufficient homeless shelters. I'm not sure if that was true, but they decided that. And so we're not going to enforce our no camping laws. Well, the court decision referred to at night. You have to allow people a place to sleep at night. We don't need to get into that court ruling. We could if you can. It was a horrible ruling, but bottom line, it does apply to Los Angeles, but it applies to all these cities. All these cities had to deal with this ruling that said, you need to have homeless shelters. If you don't, then you got to allow people to sleep on the streets at night, essentially. Mm-hmm. So Los Angeles said, we don't have these shelters, whereas other cities either said they had them or they built them quickly, you know, very inexpensive shelters. These other cities started enforcing, whereas Los Angeles stopped enforcing, but you could enforce during the day. Los Angeles is not enforcing 24/7. So that's what allows these homeless encampments to
And Michael and I see them all the time, people living yep. elsewhere, see pictures of them. But these people are turning these tents into little homes. They've got couches in there, and yep. some of them set up little businesses in there, and, you know, bike
right.
and so on. And they couldn't do any of that if they enforced during the day, because they wouldn't, they'd be moving their tent all the time. So that's simple solution number one.
Yes.
Simple solution number two is simply provide basic temporary shelter so that now you can start enforcing at night. This hasn't happened in Los Angeles because the politicians don't want it to happen. They want to use this as an excuse to provide government housing for everyone, because that's what yep. progressives believe in. The government should take care of your housing. They should offer you a job. They should take care of your health care. They should take care of your food. Government takes care of everyone. That's Jim, the social communist mentality of the left.
I had a guest on yesterday. He's running for LA County Supervisor, and I think he's over in West Hollywood. Anyway, he called it the homeless industrial complex. And I started laughing. I was like, that's the first time I've heard that. And he goes, Michael, you know where I got that? He goes, I got it from the people who work in that. And because he had done a lot of homeless volunteer work, and they even inside of it, that's what they call it. I was speaking with Jim Breslow. He's the host of the Hidden Truth Show. We're going to come back for our last segment and finish this Friday off right.
Bill Gates loves tyranny. Ever wonder what country is the model for the world to follow, according to Bill Gates? Australia, which led the most oppressive lockdowns, next to China.
Is it possible to prevent the next pandemic?
Yes, if every country does what Australia did, then you wouldn't be calling it a pandemic.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yes, that's right. Bill Gates' idea of the way to prevent the next pandemic is to follow the model of COVID lockdowns, quarantine camps, militarization, people being forced off beaches, endless contact tracing, forced masking, forced vaccinating. One of the most oppressive lockdowns on the planet, next to China, occurred in Australia. That's what Bill Gates wants for your future. Now you know what Bill Gates and the World Health Organization have in mind for you. Be afraid, be very afraid, and then get angry and fight back. For the Morano Minute, I'm Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy to understand, coherent conversation.
That's why I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you from the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is TNT Radio. This is Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker. I'm speaking with Jim Breslow. We are talking about this just nonstop homeless crisis that we've got here in LA and in many places. Jim, yesterday, I had a guy tell me that I'm trying to think what he said. He was basically saying that in the early 2000s, there was a guy that was building dwellings for like $2,000, and he was building them, I don't remember off of which freeway here in Los Angeles, but you know, they basically made him shut down. He had found a way to build a very inexpensive dwelling with a solar panel on top so that they could have like a little hot plate, and he built quite a few of these on his own dime, and then they basically shut him down.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about the homeless industrial complex. I mean, Los Angeles is literally spending billions of dollars to build permanent housing. So, yeah, why do something cheap and easy when you can do something for billions, which gives you a lot of you know, payoffs, handouts, campaign contributors, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of corruption in city of LA. I mean, there's a few guys that are facing indictments right now, including city councilmen. So, you know, whenever you're talking about city politics anywhere, you're talking about typically more corruption than you get at the state or federal level. So yeah, this is a big excuse to do some major government contracts. The housing they've been building, they've been building it for 4 or 5 years is when they first passed this $1 billion sales tax increase. So all of us Angelenos are paying an extra, like, you know, quarter cent extra sales tax on everything we buy solely for the use of building permanent housing for the homeless. That was passed 5 years ago. So far, 1,000 units have been built, some at a cost of up to $837,000 per unit. So you just can't put government in charge of stupid like this. And what they should be focusing on, yes, absolutely, is what that guy was building. They're calling them tiny homes. You probably heard that.
There's one of those very close to me. And I asked this guy yesterday about it because I said, I never see anyone there. He tells me he believes that it's fully occupied, which it may be. But every time I've driven by it, it looks basically vacant, but I can't see inside them.
Yeah. Well, the homeless, when they're offered shelter, they almost uniformly say no. It really takes a lot of work to get these people to leave where they are. So right. This whole that, oh my God, these poor people are on the streets and they want to get off the streets. No, they're actually content where they are. It's hard to get them housed somewhere because they like this lifestyle. You know, they're clear, they have mental issues, they have addiction issues, or whatever other issue that would cause someone to camp on the beach. But you know, they are doing it by choice. I mean, there is lots of options available to them if they chose to take it. And that's why, you know, I say if you just start enforcing the law, it'll give them that little shove to take that help. Now they're going to get the treatment for their mental health issue, or they're going to get the treatment for drug or alcohol, or they're going to have to try to reconnect with family or friends that they alienated. You know, right. All these people have family and friends, but at some point, these family and friends probably got tired of their problems and did the whole tough love thing and kicked them out. But getting these people, but in other circumstances, there's, you know, major mental health issues where the person's just gone and the family doesn't know where they are. You hear lots of stories about that, where there is outreach. Reconnecting mothers with daughters that they haven't seen in 10 years. And, you know, the mother lives in the Midwest, finds out that her daughter has been living on the, you know, in Venice on a sidewalk, gets reconnected and actually saves her life. Or they wind up in a shelter where they get help. Some of them might wind up in jail because if you are enforcing and they keep violating the law, then at some point you have to put them in jail. Well, that sounds very cruel, doesn't it? Well, but yes. Think about it. Where is it safer? In jail, where you get 3 meals a day and a roof over your head and a shower and a shave and interaction with people and education and so on, and all the things that happen in jails or prisons versus on the street, which is right. Less humane. And
Jim, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that's the primary way people get sober is they spend 90 days in jail and they get sober.
That point has been made on this show several times. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be jail. It just needs to be some kind of facility because I've seen this argument made many times that what you're talking about, the involuntary putting of an individual in some place is in some way an incarceration. I would make the argument that if I am addicted to drugs or something else to the level that I am no longer able to control my own life. You know, I mean, there has to be a status or a threshold where we say, listen, this person, we can intervene in their life to save their life. And so some people are opposed to that. Some people just feel like, no, you can't just take a person off the street and put them in some type of facility. But I would argue if they are past the point of being able to make cognizant, healthy decisions for themselves, we could step in to try to help out.
Yeah, but there's another way to slice that, which is if you're just enforcing the law, right, that says no,
right,
can't, and they keep showing up and violating the law again and again and again, at some point you're incarcerating them for breaking the law. So you don't need to incarcerate them based on mental health. You're incarcerating them on breaking the law.
True. Yeah. Good point.
You know, right now they kind of give you a ticket for it. And then I think on the third ticket, they're putting people in handcuffs. But look, it's like any law. You break a law, you're put in handcuffs, you're taken to jail. So I had no problem with that happening in this situation.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm referencing what all the arguments that I see on Nextdoor. I mean, I don't join the arguments, but I you know, because somebody will bring up, okay, over here on the corner of such and such, we've got an encampment. I'm, you know, my kids are afraid to walk by it or what have you. And then, you know, it takes off from there. And there are still people that just feel like we shouldn't intervene, that we should let it be. And I don't know how they think this is ultimately going to resolve itself, but they still buy the no intervention aspect. You know, yeah. Don't arrest them. Don't help them out.
That Nextdoor is great, you know, for finding out what's happening in your communities. Yeah. That Nextdoor is great. I was just on it yesterday, and they were talking about somebody being accosted on a hiking trail. Guy, like, you know, just acting berserk and attack, you know, just randomly attacking him on a trail. Clearly the guy's mentally deranged. So they called 911. And if you're reporting something to 911 that involves the police, what 911 does, apparently, because I read this on two different stories on Nextdoor, is they say, oh, okay, we'll connect you to the police department. Okay, thank you very much. These people were on hold for like an hour,
mm-hmm,
for the police department to even just answer the phone.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you the state of LAPD right now and how overburdened LAPD is. I was also reading that geographically, Los Angeles is larger than the state of New York. A lot of people who don't live in California or LA probably don't realize how huge geographically Los Angeles is. Totally, yes. Spread. When you're really spread out like that, then you need even more police.
Yeah,
we have half as many police in LA, larger geographically than the state of New York. We have half the number of police that Manhattan, the little island of Manhattan, has, has twice as many as we have. So LA is severely, severely underpoliced. If you go to any other place, I see a much larger police presence than I see in Los Angeles. In my entire community of Pacific Palisades, which, as you know, probably runs, you know, 10 miles wide by 5 miles high, just roughly speaking, we have one police car assigned to that area at any one time. One police car.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it, man. Jim, what is, we're up against the, coming up on the end of the hour. What are you writing on next? Have you decided? I mean, there's so many things we could talk about.
Yeah. I'll probably be hitting the Newsom budget that's just coming out and this huge surplus that California has and what he plans to do with it. You know, rather than simply cutting taxes, they'll never do that. So they'd rather use these billions of dollars for their pet causes. But yeah, it's pretty astounding. I think they got a lot of money from the federal government due to COVID. You know, these Silicon Valley billionaires, they do pay a lot in taxes. I mean, the state rakes in tons of money through Silicon Valley. But the problem is when we hit a recession, you know, we have 13% state income tax. So when we hit a recession, that money dries up very quickly. So California really has to have a rainy day fund. We've got all this unfunded pension liabilities that we don't do anything about. So I'll probably be writing about how Newsom is going to blow about an $80 billion surplus on his pet projects, including free abortions to all.
Yeah. No, that's excellent, because somebody needs to talk about it. I mean, they could give that money back. They could lower taxes, but I've told several people the same thing you're just saying. Gavin ain't giving it back. It's not coming back. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Jim Breslow of The Hidden Truth Show. Please go to hiddentruthshow.com. You can see several hundred episodes of work that Jim hosts on true crime, mysteries, Las Vegas shooter. It's just a ton of work. Jim, thank you so much and have a great weekend, buddy.
You too, buddy.
All right, man. You guys, we're going to get out of here. It is another Friday. We're going to take a couple of days off. Wherever you are on this planet Earth, I hope you're having a great day. I hope great evening. And I'll see you back Monday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Los Angeles, California. Cheers.